From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and featuring the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, your host, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life.
And I'm Ellen Taylor, Executive Director of Archangel Radio.
Archbishop, howdy.
Well, hey, partner,
I
tell you, I felt like I was at Bucky's for a moment, you know.
Well, I was going to say good morning.
Which is, by the way, I like going to Bucky's, not making fun of them.
We're recording here in the morning, and so I almost said good morning and realized that many of our listeners will be listening not in the morning. And we're actually recording a couple days ahead of you dedicating the new church out at St. Ignatius, but by the time this airs, it'll be after the dedication.
Something I'm looking forward to, I know we're going to talk about this, because even though not everyone will be at the dedication of church, and I would think the vast majority of our listeners have never been at a dedication of church. It is rarely done. We don't build a new church every day, but it's a beautiful ceremony, and it says a lot to us about our faith. And so I think it is worth just explaining a little bit of what this will look like for those who aren't there.
Archbishop, would you lead us in prayer as we begin?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, dear God, you give us the gift of faith and you call us together to be your family in living the faith, to support one another. You gather us together in places, in buildings that are churches because we are there. So we thank you for your great love, and we pray that we be good members of your family, the church, as we offer our prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. So, Archbishop, I'm one of those people. I'm 56, soon to turn 57. I have never been to the dedication of a church. And I'm going to, unfortunately, be out of town between Montgomery and Auburn this weekend, so I won't be to this one either. What am I going to miss?
You're going to miss a lot. Now, fortunately, it's going to be live streamed.
Fantastic.
St. Ignatius Parish in Mobile is going to live stream. That's my understanding. And I suspect, I shouldn't say this because I don't know it for a fact, but I suspect it will be on their website or on their Facebook page for a while afterwards. So it's worth looking at. It's a beautiful celebration. It is a in comparison with a Sunday Mass, it is much longer, because there's so many things that are, so many symbols and gestures that are involved in the dedication of the church, that it will be probably twice as long as a Sunday Mass, a usual Sunday Mass. But I remember an old bishop used to say after long celebrations, it was long but necessary. You know, it's not only necessary, it is a blessing. So,
Archbishop, before we get to the specificity, just struck me as we were opening. When a family builds a new house, they get ready to move into the new house, that's where the life of the family is centered. I mean, the life of the family goes outside, it goes to other places, but it's the heart of the family's life. That's what's happening now. So this is a big deal.
That's a good analogy, Pat. You know, when a family moves from one house to another, there are mixed emotions. There are mixed emotions in any transition in life. But that's a very significant transition, to go from one house to another. There's a sadness of giving up the old place, because there's so many memories there of members of the family who used to gather with us there and have gone on to the Lord. You know, our different events that happen there are, you know, it's just so much that we are losing when we move from one house to another. But there's an excitement about going to the new house and creating new memories and new experiences. And so there are mixed emotions. And for a dedication of a church, there are some mixed emotions there. To lose the place where perhaps someone remembers their wedding being in that church, or their loved one having their the funeral of a loved one in that church, but then the excitement of going to a new church. So at St. Ignatius, we will gather in the old church.
Oh, nice.
Which the next day will be desanctified. Let me put that. It's not the
like
canonical
church. Decommissioned,
yes.
Almost like a...
you know, that it will no longer be a church.
Can but, I ask, what is the technical word? I'm just curious.
It is a reduction. It is called. All right. Okay. In reduction in
Thank
its
you.
Status. But it is no longer a church. And actually, it will become a parish hall. All right. But we will gather there. And then, as the people of God, we will leave the church. And we will process over to the doors outside, to the doors of the new church. And the church is locked and no one is in it. And someone who has been selected will hand me, as Archbishop, will hand me the key to the front door. Because as shepherd of the Archdiocese, as the Archbishop, it is for me to lead the people into the new church. And then as Archbishop, I take the key and I hand it to the pastor who I have appointed to be the pastor of the shepherd of this local part of our family of God. And I ask him to unlock it so that I may lead the people into the church. You know, it's a very nice gesture of the Archbishop is the shepherd of the whole family of the Archdiocese, but the Archbishop has appointed this priest to be the shepherd of this portion of it. So we are both involved in that moment.
Now, when you all gather in the old church,
yes,
is it just the way people normally kind of filter in and it's just done in silence, or is there an opening hymn and you officially begin?
Actually, this will be where the pastor and whomever has been selected to make some comments.
Okay.
And thanks, etc. Whatever presentations, talks that may be appropriate are done at that point as the people gather. And in the whole thing, I should have said this from the very beginning. There's an expression in the church that goes back at least 1,600 years, and probably longer. And in Latin, it's lex credendi, lex orandi, lex vivendi, which means the way we worship is also the way we pray, the way we believe, and the way we live. That the three have to be in harmony, that how we pray expresses what we believe and expresses how we are called to live. And in this dedication of a church, the Universal Church is teaching us, as we dedicate this building, something about what we believe. And how we're going to pray here reflects what we believe, and it teaches us then how we are to go live. This dedication of the new church building is not just put, you know, I didn't come up with it this week. It is carefully designed through the centuries by the church with a very teaching element in mind, instructing us, the people of God, about what we do here and how that should affect our lives.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM. Pat Ahrensburg here with Alan Taylor from Archangel Radio itself. And we're speaking about the dedication of St. Ignatius Church, but we're also talking about the dedication of a church in general, because it's very instructive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And about each one of our churches in our parishes.
Now, I assume that opening that you've been describing would be slightly different if it was a new church going on a new piece of property, let's say. Because at St. Ignatius,
yes,
you particularly have the symbolism of the community gathering in the old church. And then going to the doorway.
If it was a new location, mm-hmm, are the first church building that the parish is building.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. We would gather somewhere else on the property, okay, and maybe in a tent or whatever, and process to the new church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So now we're at the doors. We haven't gotten very far here. All right. So then the doors open and the archbishop leads the people into the church. The church, none of the lights are on. It's a, now this will be on a Sunday morning, so the light will be coming in through the beautiful stained glass windows, but it will still be very subdued lighting. The choir is with us, the people are with us. We'll be singing, but no musical instruments are used, so the organ will not be used. No one is in the church until we process in. And everyone comes on in and is seated in the pews. And the first thing we do, once we're all in the new church building, is that we are reminded of why we are here. And so, as Archbishop, I will bless holy water. And I will go through the church, sprinkling the water on the people. Because why we're here, why we're dedicating this building, is because we have been baptized. So the first thing that, the church asks us to remember as we dedicate the building is why we're there. We're there because we are the people of God, and we came the people of God in the waters of baptism. Right? And then we sing the Gloria, and we have the opening prayer. And then the next thing that happens is that the readers who will be reading the script, just like Sunday Mass, the readers come up to the archbishop carrying the Bible, the lectionary. They hand it to the archbishop, and the archbishop holds it over his head and says a prayer that the word of God may always resound in this place and in our hearts. That the word of God will be proclaimed. We are now, we've been baptized, we're there. We've had the water sprinkled on us to remind us of that. And then the next thing we're reminded is that this is a place where the word is especially dedicated to the proclamation of the word of God. And then we have our first reading and our psalm and our second reading. Our first reading from the Old Testament, psalm, second reading from the New Testament, and then a gospel reading, and then the sermon. So we've had the baptism, we've had the word of God to be proclaimed. Then the third thing that happens is the dedication of the altar, where the Eucharist will be celebrated. And in the Old Testament, when God tells Moses to erect a place where the people will worship and to appoint priest, God tells Moses, you will anoint everything that is used in the in this place of worship, and you will anoint the priest, because these now have been set aside for the worship of these instruments, and you know the table, the lampstands, the censers, and the priests have to be anointed with oil as a sign that they are now dedicated to me. They belong to me. And following that, to dedicate this altar, this is dedicated, set aside for God and for the celebration of the Eucharist, the bishop covers the top of the altar with chrism, anoints it, and then goes through the church and anoints the walls of the church. And so I'll go to four different places in the church and we'll actually put the oil, put the chrism on the walls of the church. And if you, Evan will notice, if you go into a church that has been dedicated, where the bishop anoints, there is a permanent cross put there as a reminder that this church has been dedicated. So there will be four crosses on the walls of the Church of St. Ignatius Parish as a reminder that this church was anointed, was dedicated. And this is the spot where the walls were anointed.
You didn't mention using incense. Is that used?
You haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, look at me. I'm jumping ahead in the story.
That's okay. No, that's a good question, though.
Yeah.
So now the The altar has been anointed, has been set, and the walls have been anointed. The building has been anointed. This altar, this building is set aside for God. But let me just mention this about anointed. Everyone in the pews has been anointed. When we were baptized, we were anointed with chrism. If you've ever been to baptism, you know the one who is baptized is anointed. Each one of us has been set aside for God, belongs to God. And we can't forget that this anointing is not just for these inanimate objects of an altar or a building. We have been anointed.
So I'm a bit of a church nerd. So I just want a quick answer to this because I don't want to
sidetrack the Archbishop.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Okay. So when the old church is reduced or desanctified, mm-hmm. are the crosses that were put up when it was dedicated and the bishop?
That's a good question.
Are those taken down?
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, the most honest answer sometimes I can give is, I don't know. All right, so now that the altar has been anointed, then we say, God, we have dedicated this altar to you for prayer. And when we, your family, gather here, we who have been baptized, we who have been anointed, we ask you that you receive our prayers that we make in this place. And so, now the altar, there are no candles in the church. There are no flowers in the church. It's a very plain, the lights are still not on. It's subdued. It's a very plain looking building. The altar has no cloths on it. And then at that point, after the anointing, someone brings forth a fire and places it on the altar. And the archbishop pours incense on the fire, and the incense rises up. Incense is a sign in the Bible of our prayer rising to God. If you read, for example, the book of Revelations, it says the angels stood before the throne withholding bowls with glowing embers and incense, which was the prayers of the people, that angels constantly stand before God presenting incense, which are God's prayers of God's people. So there is this fire on the altar, and the bishop pours incense on the fire, quite a bit of incense, with the incense rising up as a sign of we're asking God that our prayers will rise from this place to you.
Wow, that sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I love about Easter Vigil is it's the symbol speaks so loudly. I'm imagining this in my mind, and what a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I have to say, I had a dedication of the student chapel, student church at Auburn, and a number of college students came to it, and they were blown away by the ceremony. Mm-hmm. And a few of them came up to me afterwards, and they were saying, we thought you were just going to come in with some holy water and bless everything. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into by coming to this mass. They said, we loved it. Yeah. But when we saw you pour chrism all over the altar, what's with this? And then when we saw you put a fire on the altar, but it's the church knows how to use symbols to express the reality of our faith.
And our mm-hmm. shepherd, when he uses a symbol, he uses the symbol.
Yeah. I was
about 4 days behind him after he dedicated an altar. Uh-huh. The church was existing, but they put in a new altar, and it was still quite
oily.
Quite oily. Yeah, it was. He goes all out. If you're going to use it, use it. Uh-huh.
We're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio. Archbishop Thomas Rohde, Pat Ahrensburg, I'm Ellen Taylor. You're listening to Archangel either on the app at archangelradio.com or 1410 AM, 94.5 FM.
Now comes, I got to say, a favorite moment of mine.
Oh.
All right. So we have the altar has been dedicated. The building has been dedicated. We have the fire on the altar and the incense. And then the fire is removed, and one person, who has been selected for this, comes and puts cloths on the altar. And as any altar would have cloths. By the way, you know, in case someone is asking, what about all the oil? Well, yeah. First, a waterproof cloth is put on the altar. All right. And then the cloths and candles are placed on the altar, not lit. And then a lit candle is brought to the archbishop. Just one lit candle. And the archbishop holds the candle over his head and says to the people, let the light of Christ always shine in this place. And he hands the candle to the deacon, who goes over and lights the candles on the altar. And with that, the lights come on, the choir starts singing, the organ starts blasting, mm-hmm. and people who have been selected come up, carrying the candles for the other altars, bringing up the flowers, bringing up the decorations. It's a beautiful, dramatic moment that now this is our church. Mm-hmm. We now have a church. And it's a very beautiful, dramatic moment. Something akin, if you've been to the Easter Vigil, of when the lights come on. It's something like that.
Now, the candle that's brought to you, is it lit off of the fire on the altar? Or is there any... You know, like at the vigil, it's lit off the Paschal candle. So this one not. Okay.
But it's a very dramatic moment. And the choirs, in fact, they'll have two choirs there. But, I mean, the choirs start singing, the organ starts playing for the first time. The choir has been singing, but without musical instruments up to this point. And the lights in the church come on. And, wow, we got a new church building here. Mm-hmm.
And I present
it's a very yes. important
all this time. The Eucharist is not in the
no church. Eucharist.
Yeah. Is the tabernacle open or is it
tabernacle closed? Is empty and open.
And obviously the sanctuary lamp is not lit.
That's correct.
So we're getting closer though.
We're getting closer. And then the mass goes forward as would normally be done. Mm-hmm. That the bread and wine is brought forward, the altar's for Mass, for the Eucharist, and we celebrate the Eucharistic prayer, consecrate the Eucharist, people receive communion. And then when communion is over, the Eucharist is placed on the altar in the ciborium, and the Archbishop goes over and takes the ciborium and brings it to the tabernacle for the first time and places the Eucharist in the tabernacle and incenses the Eucharist. And then the deacon closes the tabernacle, and it is time for the closing prayer. And here's the good part, Pat, that you're going to enjoy.
Okay.
There are no announcements. All that was done earlier back in the old church. So no announcements. That's the only, you may argue that means that the Mass was not valid.
Yeah, the three most dangerous words in any liturgy.
Yeah.
Please be seated.
Please be seated. There are no announcements, no speeches. We have the final blessing and we go to celebrate at the reception.
Archbishop.
Pretty neat, huh?
That is sensational.
I'm really enjoying hearing this story and the way that you paint the picture of a new church coming to life. Is there any difference? Because in looking ahead, for example, the next church we might be building might be over in Spanish Fork at Blessed Silo's Parish. And so their first building is going to be
a multi-purpose.
It will not be dedicated.
It will be blessed.
Oh, okay.
Because that will be a multi-purpose building.
Interesting.
It won't be their permanent church.
All right. So you'll bless
that's
it
how
in
most
some.
Parishes begin, uh-huh. you know, with some sort of a multi-purpose building, which will be used for parish functions and religious education, et cetera. And on Sundays, they'll put out chairs and have Mass, but that's not their church.
Okay.
That building is not set aside for the worship of God. It is being used for many different functions.
Oh. Well, when we record the show on that, Archbishop, it's going to be a lot shorter.
Yeah. I bring some holy water and I bless it.
Bring some Auburn kids down.
Yeah, all right. We can deal with this. But no, there is a difference between having a multi-purpose building and having a building that we are setting aside for the worship of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm glad you clarified that, because I was thinking in my mind, well, what do they? After you described the story, I was like, wow, they're going to do all that for a multi-purpose building. So it's always interesting what the church does. And what I like, too, is just the commitment, the celebration, and using our things in our past to remind us of who we are going forward in our future.
And where all this really comes from is from Exodus, book of Exodus, where God tells Moses, things that are set aside for me, I want them anointed. Mm-hmm. And guess what? We are anointed. The word Christ means the anointed one, that Jesus was the special one, the one sent from God. And we who are Christians are called to Christians, all right, to be anointed as well, set aside for God and for eternal life. And this is where, not that we gather in this new church building, it's where God gathers us. And that's why it's so important that this is a place dedicated to God. He brings us together in this place.
Well, you've already answered the question I was about to pose. As you know, it seems to me that the whole ceremony is a sermon, but in a sentence or two, what would be the sermon? And I think you just gave it.
Thank you.
So that was perfect. Well, I hate that I won't be there. I look forward to live stream, finding the live stream. So if you're interested, try to find them. I'm sure it's probably on St. Ignatius
Parish,
Facebook.
Mobile, Alabama.
Archbishop, can we have your blessing?
May the blessing of God be upon you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to The Archbishop Show with our shepherd, Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, as well as Pat Ahrensberg, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio.